We come into this psalm tonight of Psalm 26, and I've been impressed with it because it's another psalm about clean hands. If you look at verse 6, you will notice that the psalmist says, "I will wash mine hands in innocency." And that agrees with what we learned in Psalm 24, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." You can't rush from the world into the sanctuary and have the blessing. You can't live ungodly and wickedly and just rush into the house of God and expect that you can turn on the blessing. Our prayers will only be as strong and as effective as the lives we live. There is a direct connection between a holy life, a godly life, and power in prayer. We know that James talked about having not because we ask not, or we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our lusts. So there you have the worldly mind seeking things that are not necessarily the will of God, and other things that hinder our prayers, problems in marriage, strife and anger and those things, bitterness of heart, hinder our praying. Now, I want to go down to verse 11 this evening and try and take out of this text, and we'll refer back a little bit to the psalm, but really put most of our focus on this verse 11. And these words, "but as for me, but as for me." I got a good sermon outline from my father-in-law. He attended a funeral where there was a Plymouth Brethren preacher, and he preached this outline: "As for God, His way is perfect." And that's Psalm 18, verse 30. "As for man, he is as the grass of the field." That's Psalm 103. And here we have, as for me, I will walk in my integrity. And whatever the world may do, whatever the ungodly may do, the Christian is a separatist. We must separate from the world and from the ungodly and take this, what I will call, the true Christian's resolve. Separation. "As for me, I will walk in mine integrity." Now, if you go backwards to verses 9 and 10, you'll see the evil men that he was confronted with. "Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes." So David was going to have absolutely none of that. He was not going to be mixed up in all of that evil and all of that wickedness. And so he here resolved, "As for me, I will walk in mine integrity." And so he has his separation from evil men. But it's not just negative. Separation is also positive. There is a separation unto God. And you'll see that in verse 11, "Redeem me and be merciful unto me." And so David longs for fellowship with God. And this is separation unto God. If you go back to verse 3, "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes." That's positive. And that's what we want to do tonight. We want to leave the world behind, the ways of the wicked totally off the table, and we want to focus upon the loving kindness of the Lord. And so this is our strength and our meditation. You may be aware of Romans 1 verse 1, where Paul talked about being separated unto the gospel. And no doubt that's where our little booklet got its title, "Separated Unto the Gospel." And separation is not just to flee and separate and be apart from other things, but it is focusing and setting yourselves or resolving that you will walk with the Lord. In the Psalm 26, there's a couple of references to walk. Verse 1, and then down in verse 11 again. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. And there, of course, is his life. He has sought to hold up his testimony. His integrity is his standing before men, that he will not stoop to their ways nor to their evil, because he has this principle of separation. If we are going to be men and women of prayer, we need to live a separated life from the world, not into a vacuum, but unto God, walking in his fellowship and delighting in communion with him. And so if we're going to be men and women of prayer tonight, we need to make this resolution, this resolve. I'm going to be personally separated from every evil, wicked thing, and I'm going to live unto God. Our prayers cannot go any further than that. Our prayers cannot even begin until we make that resolution. And I hope tonight that that will be your heart's earnest contract with God. Yes, Lord, I will separate myself from the world, and I will live unto God, walking in fellowship with him. So there is the true Christian's resolve. Then also in verse 11, you have the true Christian's redemption. And he pleads here, redeem me, redeem me. Now he's already a redeemed man, but he never gets away from redemption. He never gets away from pardon and justification and being bought by the blood of the sacrifice. Redeem me. Now, it's redeemed is the emphasis that we might enjoy mercy. And you'll see how that fits together in the latter part of verse 11. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. And so the true Christian's focus is on redemption, that we might enjoy mercy. And surely that's our plea tonight. That's our burden, that we might receive from the Lord mercy afresh. Now that redeemed also leads us to enjoying worship. If you go back to verse 6, he says, I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar. And you can see how the clean hands and fellowship at the altar, or he speaks here about compassing the altar, or being around the altar, very close to the altar, and it requires that clean hands. And so by redemption, we enjoy this wonderful worship and fellowship with God. And purity is the key. The holier we walk, the nearer to God we walk, the more we separate from the world, then we shall enjoy fellowship and worship with God in a sweet and a beautiful way. Now, to enjoy this holiness of heart, you will see that David opened his heart to God. He said in verse 1, judge me. Now, the word judge here can also mean vindicate. And sometimes it's translated that way. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. And so he is maintaining his uprightness, and he's asking God to look into the matter. Whatever slander the world is bringing, whatever evil accusations he is receiving, he's just going to lay it all before God and ask God to vindicate, to judge him. And to do that, he invites God in verse 2, examine me. He opens up his heart to God. And if we're going to be men and women of prayer, we must do that. Nothing hidden, nothing of our own agenda, nothing covered up, we invite the Lord to examine our hearts, to search us, and see if there be anything that would hinder our life of prayer. And just as in that Psalm 24, that we need clean hands and a pure heart, then we're asking tonight that the Lord will examine us. Now, that's serious praying. That is really serious praying. And if we do what David did tonight, it will be very heart-searching. And there may be things that the Lord will put his finger on and say, I can't accept that. That's wrong. That's not proper. That is not something I can bless. And when you come to pray, these things come to our minds. That's why it becomes a hindrance to us in prayer. And if we're not willing to lay it out, if we're not willing to ask God to examine us and then confess it and put it away, then we are going to be hindered in our own individual prayer life, and we will not have power with God. We will not get through to God. Prayer will be a difficult thing, an impossible thing, and there will be no blessing in it. And so this is indeed a very, very searching psalm. And so there's the true Christian's resolve to be separated, the true Christian's redemption. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We can't live any old way now. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 6, that we are not our own. We're bought with a price. And we must serve the Lord with all of our hearts. Now, when we come down to verse 12, you will see the true Christian's resting place. And verse 12 says, For my foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. And you can see the final strength and place of firm, sure-footedness here. My foot standeth in an even place. And the word even means an open plain. He's not going to stumble. He's not going to go over the edge of the cliff. There's a flat, level place for him to stand. And you'll see there that he is sure-footed. And that's what separation does. Separation, personal separation in holiness unto God, it keeps us sure-footed. Apostasy means away from. Apostasy means to be drawn away. But when you are separated unto God, it brings you to a safe place. And you not only walk holy, but you walk safely. And you will be delivered from many temptations and delivered from compromise and falling into wicked ways. Now, I found it interesting in verse 12 that he talks about my foot standeth, being sure-footed. And he said in verse 1, I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Now, as we get older, we can lose our sure-footedness. We'll all probably walk with a stick one day, or a walking aid. I was carrying something out this morning of our house. There's about three steps, wooden steps down, and I don't know if they were slippery or if I missed it wrongly or whatever, but I didn't quite fall, but my feet went out in front of me and I grabbed onto the side of the railing. And whatever we're doing in life, we can lose our footing very quickly. And I'm not sure what age David was. We're not even sure what the big event was in the psalm when it was written. But walking physically can require that we be careful we don't slide. Now take that spiritually. Take that into our Christian living. There's always the danger that we slide. And a slide for a Christian is always detrimental, as a fall is to the body. And we need to be sure-footed. And separation will do that. the more we obey God's word and live in godliness, the safer our walk will be as a Christian. And we will be delivered from many ways. Now, David was very confident of God's love and kindness unto him. We read that there in the psalm. And he closes off with this tremendous note of praise. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Now we might ask, how can we bless the Lord? We're asking the Lord to bless us. Well, the Hebrew word here for bless is barak, and it means to kneel. It means to kneel. It is to worship the Lord. And so if you read that verse 12, my foot standeth in an even place, a safe place, in the congregations will I bless the Lord. I will kneel, I will worship, I will adore the Lord. And here is this tremendous assurance. He will not slide. He is sure-footed. And he will go to the house of the Lord, and he will praise him all the day. Mr. Spurgeon said that Christians often sing themselves into happiness. Well, it's kind of difficult when we don't sing. But we can sing at home. And I hope that you've had a happy heart today. I hope that you've been able to take your hymn book or a hymn that you know off by memory and you can sing as unto the Lord. And this separation, which is so much the handmaid of prayer, will lead us to tremendous times of happy worship with the Lord. And so we can say tonight, but as for me, be a separatist. Even in prayer, be a separatist. And you can see the wonderful resolve. I will. And we'll end on that note. If you look at verse 6, he says, I will wash mine hands. And then verse 11, I will walk in mine integrity. And verse 12, will I bless the Lord? Oh, this is the happy confidence of the child of God. I hope tonight that we will have that happy confidence as we come into the presence of the Lord this evening and as we worship him. I was greatly struck that Psalm 26 is in great agreement with Psalm 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Let's pray for that tonight. Let's pray earnestly that the Lord will work that within us. Let's unite now and I'll lead in prayer, and then we'll have a few prayer requests before we go to the Zoom time. Father, we thank thee for this wonderful psalm and to be reminded of the principle of the need to be personally holy, separated from the world and every evil thing, that we might grow into happy worshippers of the Lord Jesus. Oh, we pray tonight for washing, for cleansing in the blood. We pray tonight that you will give us clean hands, and we also pray for a pure heart. And we ask, O Lord, that you will give us that safe standing, that sure-footedness in the service of the Lord. Keep us from sliding. Keep us from departing. And keep us in the very center of your will. Help us to pray tonight. O Lord, how few are interested in real, earnest, godly praying. How few wrestle at the throne of God. Teach us to pray, Lord. Give unto us the spirit of prayer, and grant that we will do as David did, to bless the Lord, to kneel and to come into your presence with earnestness, pleading help. We do ask for the Holy Spirit's ministry. Oh Lord, these are barren times. We're dry. We need the breath and the power of God the Holy Spirit to minister to us. I pray for brothers and sisters that are joining us by webcast tonight that you will also minister unto them in a very personal way. Lord, convince them of the need of separation unto God, away from the world, and away from every compromise. I pray that we will each be resolved in heart, totally resigned to be separated unto God. O Lord, give us that determination. And we pray for the power of the God to come in. Come in now, Lord. Come into my heart. Come into each heart here in this meeting. Come into our hearts, O Lord, and breathe upon us and fill us with the power of your Spirit that we may be strengthened in the inner man. We continue to pray for the ministry of our church, for all who join us, all who come. Thank you for the attendance on the Lord's Day. Thank you for the ministry of Andrew Fitton on Sunday morning and for their visit here, and we pray that you'll bless their marriage and use them in the days to come, that our brother will know the leading of the Lord and that you will open up a place of fruitful service for him. We pray that you will bless in Calgary at the installation service coming up in a few weeks. O Lord, grant that that will be a blessed, hallowed time in the life of that congregation and also in the life of the Reverend Backhurst. We pray earnestly, O Lord, that you will work by your Spirit in him and bless him wonderfully and graciously. I pray, Lord, you will bless our brother Andrew Simpson as well. Thank you for his ministry here recently. And I pray you'll bless him in his own church in Prince George and also in Williams Lake a few times per month. We ask, Lord, that you will bless his every effort and fill him with the Spirit. Put your word in his heart, and may he be filled with the Lord's message that he might preach the gospel and see a work done for thee. Remember those young people that have come into the congregation. We pray for their conversion. We pray that they will know the Lord. We pray that you will give them the blessed assurance of sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus. And so our trust is in thy name. Remember Daniel tonight too. We pray for him. O Lord, comfort his heart and keep him from falling. And grant, Lord, that you will guide him day by day and step by step. We pray for your hand upon him and that you will bless. Remember Debbie tonight. And we pray for Coralie in her visit with family in Kelowna. Be with her to help and undertake. So hear and answer prayer. Bless every aspect of this meeting this evening. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.